Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always. Sam Norwood is our guest. You know, every month, ladies and gentlemen, Sam, he's with Tatum LLC, by the way. Sam has hundreds and hundreds, almost 1,000, maybe 1,000 partners across the country who are working in helping small business owners like yours and mine to be successful. They're out there managing the financial aspect and the information aspect of these businesses. And he polls these guys, these partners, and says, okay, how's it going? What does it look like in the last 30 days, and what's it going to look like in the next 60 days? And they tell him what they think, and he compiles all those answers into a handy-dandy report and gives it to us once a month, among other people, but mostly we're his prize recipients, I'm sure, of this report. And so he's nice enough to bring it on the show and report it to us and to help us so that we can have a better perspective on our own businesses. And he's our good friend, too. Sam Norwood, welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be back with you, Jim.
It's always a pleasure to have you back, Sam, except I like you a little bit more when you bring better news, Sam.
Well, you never want to shoot the messenger. I always have to say that.
I know. But you know, Sam, I was looking at your report here, and I said, oh, boy, there's a green arrow. And then I realized it was in your legend.
Yeah.
otherwise, folks, everything is either laying on its side in yellow or pointing downward in red.
Yeah. Well, everybody, if anybody who has been in within reach of a newspaper and TV the last few months know that something's going on, and what started as a financial problem has really decayed into a serious recession.
Yeah.
There's an outfit in Washington called the National Bureau of Economic Research who says that the peak of the economic activity in this past cycle was a year ago in December,
mm-hmm.
and we've been going down more or less since then. It happens our survey showed that we peaked 2 months earlier than what they show, and by December we were plunging pretty seriously into potential recession territory. And got slightly out of that for 2 months in the early spring.
We saw a glimmer of hope in the spring, didn't we?
Well, we did, and we didn't. You know, it, like anything else, the economy does not go in clear sine waves, waving up and down on a smooth path.
Mm-hmm.
There are wavelets within the wave, and so fundamentally, we've been down since a little over a year ago.
So what you were saying is what we saw
in the recession.
What we saw in the spring was a rally in a bear market. Is that what you're saying?
That's basically it, yeah. The dead cat bounce, as you might
say.
So, and then so then we really took the plunge when things flew apart in September. October was just horrible. And, we've all been through this. And the question then becomes, well, how deep, how long, and when are we going to get to the worst of the worst? And
not only when are we going to be at the bottom and start coming out, but we also, I think, have to look in the mirror, Sam, because a lot of this problem we've got started in real estate, but right now one of the biggest problems we got is in that 5 inches of real estate between our ears. What do you think?
Well, we get affected by this. If somebody comes up and scares us by saying, my golly, we're in a recession, or my next-door neighbor gets laid off, and I watch the TV, then I think, oh, man, I've got to stop my spending.
Right.
And then by my stopping my spending, that sale doesn't get made at retail, and the store doesn't order any from the factories, and pretty soon the factory's laying off people. So it does feed on itself. And this spiral that we're in will wind down, but we're still in the process of winding down, and where employment and unemployment typically is a lagging indicator, in the sense that when you I mean, you never want to lay people off until you know you absolutely have to.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to hire them back until you absolutely know that you can keep them on. So they're a lagging indicator. But now, at this stage where unemployment is rising so rapidly, the rising unemployment becomes a leading indicator because it feeds that spiral, the downward spiral. So it's we're in a little vortex right now that will bottom out sometime in 2009.
Yeah, and until the unemployment settles down, which we still don't know how long this trend is going to go with regard to unemployment. There's another report out, I think, due out this week. Until that happens, I think the confidence level is not going to be coming back. We're going to talk some specifics on what Sam's partners have told him right after this break, including what are their order backlogs, what is their capital expenditures, and we know about employment, but what about credit availability? And all that's right after these messages, 20 till. Dire Straits bringing us back. It's Mr. Mark Knopfler on guitar. 17 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check that out, use it to your advantage. That's our mothership website. In there, you can find the knowledge base, askjim.biz, which you can also just go to if you want to. And you can also find my blog, jimsblog.biz, which is right there, or go straight there if you want. So check it out. Use it to your advantage. We're doing all this for you, helping you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And don't forget what I've been saying, folks. You know what I've been telling you about the small business attitude. The small business attitude is simply this. You need to look in the mirror and say to yourself, I'm going to win by surviving. Sam Norwood, that's my new attitude for small business. What do you think?
Surviving is the first thing, and particularly you win if nobody else survives.
That's right.
But you want to survive, and then the next thing you want to do is thrive.
That's right. But right now I'm trying to be positive, Sam. You know, it's my nature to be that way. It's part of my job is to make sure people are looking at that glass half full instead of half empty. But I got to report the truth. I got to report what's really going on. I can't be in denial here. I can't fly in the face of the evidence, Sam. Well, things are tough, and so what I'm telling people is to win by surviving. Make sure that you've at least got that covered, and then if your business is not as bad as everybody else's, then maybe you can thrive during this time. But first, survive.
Survive. You got to, like in an emergency case, and when we're looking at a business that's having problems, we check first to see if it's breathing. That is, has some cash. And second, if it's bleeding, if the cash is running out, then we have to see how much cash is, you know, how much time they have, and
right.
Somehow stop the drainage of the blood. Then we can go in and operate and tie things down and hold the patient stable till times get better. And that's what we need to be doing right now. The item of good news, by the way, is gasoline prices.
Yeah.
That was, you know, that alone was such a big topic
as
a barrel of oil went to $147.
Right.
And that same barrel, same stuff in it today is coming in for $40,
$100 less than the high. You know, Sam, I don't even want to think about where our economy would be right now if we still had $147 barrel.
Oh, yeah. This be pretty
The government created that by not drilling offshore, in my opinion. And when they let the ban lapse on offshore drilling, first when they talked about it, then when they let it lapse, that's what started the downward spiral for oil. And if they hadn't done that, I think we'd be in trouble right now.
Well, the offshore drilling is certainly a part that could alleviate the situation and help to hold prices down. We wouldn't be buying from other countries if we had an adequate supply ourselves. If our supply goes up, and that means the world supply goes up, the price goes down.
Right, right. Absolutely. What about capital expenditures down now and sideways in the future?
Yeah, you know, capital expenditures, people don't want to spend money if it's if they're not confident about the future. Part of this also is that sometimes a lot of the banks have been so tight, you don't have the money to make a capital expenditure commitment.
Right.
And you're in times of uncertainty, then you just don't spend much. And so we see within the past 30 days, there was a huge drop, a dramatic drop, in the amount of capital people are willing to commit to. And the outlook for the next 60 days, we go back 30 days and forward 60 days, outlook is not that different from what it was in the prior month, but that is not good. It was down at a low level in any case. And capital expenditures are an important part of our economy. When capital expenditures are up, then all the machinery and stuff is, and it relates to opportunities for hiring people and to run the machinery and so forth. So this is a pretty good indicator of confidence and the outlook for the future. And right now, it was down, and there's a certain optimistic bias built in because our people, well, just like you and I and most people, see things, hope that things will get better next month. So there's a little bit of that bias built in. And when you get down to where it just doesn't seem like it can get any worse, then you'll see indications that look sideways,
right?
And that's kind of where we are in the capital arena.
Mm-hmm.
Very
and
similar deal with employment. You and I, when you read in the paper, unemployment just really, really dropped last month.
522,000 losses.
Oh, yeah, 500 and something.
And I learned this week, Sam, 210,000 of those were small business losses.
Oh, well, I hate that, and it is so much harder.
Yep.
This may not be accurate, but here's how I feel about it. A small business owner tends to know his people.
They know their kids.
And they know their kids. They go to their marriages.
Yeah.
And it is so hard to let somebody go.
We'd rather cut a finger off.
It's a little less personal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we'd rather cut a finger off as let a team member go. And
yeah.
But sometimes that's part of the stopping the bleeding thing. Hey, and in fact, I'll tell you what, Sam. Most small business owners I know will not pay themselves for as long as they can before they let somebody go. Happens all the time. Quick break. 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Here's the Godfather of Soul. Take us out. Sugar and spice. I feel not. Listen to the wind blow. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Sam Norwood is our guest. He's with Tatum LLC, and that's an outstanding organization that I'm going to get Sam to tell us a little bit about. And Sam, tell us about Tatum and also give us your website, please.
Sure. Well, Tatum is an outsource firm that's the largest professional services firm providing individuals to help companies in areas of finance and accounting. And technology, and our we have almost 1,000 professional employees and partners. We're coast to coast in 37 cities, and we can be hired for a short term or for a long term or part time, and to go in and help companies solve problems and seize opportunities.
It would seem to me that this would be a time when you guys would have a little extra business, maybe.
Well, we got opportunities. Well, it comes. Our IPO teams are looking around for something to do. Our rescue and turnaround teams are pretty busy.
Yeah.
But we always have people who where it can be arranged to provide help of the type that's needed wherever it is.
Right. So, and that's TatumLLC.com, right?
Yes, TatumLLC.com, and they'll see where the folks are and what we do and more about it. And by the way, they'll also see the we have a perspectives part on our website, and that's where the where the surveys are located.
Right. You can find the survey there. Of course, Sam allows us to post it on our website as well, too. So, folks, you can find it there, too. Sam, let's talk about capital availability. One of the things that I've been reminding everybody about is that my first recession was 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been involved in all of them, that one and every one since then. And this is the first time in my history where I've seen the credit markets in the kind of condition they're in right now. And all the other downturns, Sam, when the consumer and the business decided to come back to the marketplace and borrow money again, there was a healthy credit industry ready to go and chomping at the bits to make those things happen. That's not the case right now. That's what's different. And that's the one thing that concerns me right now, Sam.
It's very concerning to us, too. The first thing we need to know and why the bailout for the financial industry happened is that if we don't have a functioning credit market, then everything else dies. That having a functioning credit market is the most essential thing. It's like breathing.
It's one of the strongest parts of the American competitiveness, isn't it?
Our mature credit markets. Without it, we're nothing. And so
yeah.
Preservation of a functioning credit market was where the initial emphasis was put, because that was what was tightening and about to collapse in September. So they put together this big bailout plan for that, and the Feds and the Treasury have been injecting liquidity, cash, into the banks to prop them up. But for a while, the banks could not lend because they just didn't have the liquidity, didn't have the cash. Now they have the cash. But the banks are shifting from not being able to lend to not being willing.
Yeah.
Because the banks have their economists, too, and they're looking around and saying, times could be rough here.
Yeah.
And banks don't get paid enough to take a lot of risk. They're not risk takers.
But they've gone to the government trough, though, and they've gotten money. And what? Yep. Where's the obligation there, Sam?
Well, there's a lot of jawbone obligation that you've got to put it to work.
Yep.
But on the other hand, putting money to work on subprime mortgages was pushed by the government many years ago.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons, not the sole reason, but it's a reason why we're in trouble now.
Yeah.
So you don't want banks to be lending where the risks are inherently too high, but you do want them lending where the risks are reasonable.
Right.
And the banks right now are very reluctant to lend because they're concerned about the economic situation. Just visualize yourself being the banker of a company that is a third-tier supplier to General Motors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do for them?
Yeah, you don't want to loan them any money. Sam, quickly, in the next 60 days, what's it looking like? More of the same?
More of the same in the next 60 days. Our overall indicators indicate that the rate of decline will not be as strong as it has been in the last month.
Yeah.
That there will be a reduction in the rate of decline, but we will still be heading down. We think it's indicated here that things will be at least as bad and probably worse, and we'll probably see the bottom maybe sometime in the first quarter, possibly in the second quarter, but most likely in the first quarter of next year.
Thank you, Sam, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.